Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Marcus joins Christian Mingle. We celebrate Sweet Christmas with Luke Cage. Then we ask, how do video games contextualize violence? All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello and welcome back to the fifth episode of Trust Circle. Top Shelf Gaming's number one and only. Oh. Beat you to it. Oh. Ha! Better luck next time, kid. This is Top Shelf Gaming's podcast. Round 5. We did it.
We keep going.
We're still here.
Let's keep going.
I am still your host, Devin Valdivia, and I am still joined by my lovely wife, Valerie Rustad.
Sure.
We'll go our with name that. Will change at some point. We need to get the paperwork. We need to find the paperwork, figure out what to do with it.
Did you guys even get married?
We're not sure.
If there's no paperwork,
then it's a green card marriage. I'm actually Canadian.
Yes.
Hey. It's about time I got clean.
Hey.
Maple syrup, poutine.
You clearly
hockey.
Hit on everything.
The Canucks.
You're definitely Canadian.
I've been to Canada for like 3 days. Everyone in Canada was extremely nice. There was not one mean person I met in Canada.
How long were you there?
3 days.
Day 4, everything changes.
Yeah, okay. You really.
There's that three day neighbor policy, the courtesy policy.
Yeah.
After that, you know, it's all just.
That's when the
hatchets and poutine.
The wool will fall from my eyes like autumn leaves.
And how they know it's really about your American scent. And after 3 days, that is when it's fully worn off.
With the smell of freedom.
Yeah.
The smell of freedom is completely gone. Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. From freedom to maple syrup.
Yep.
Second maple syrup joke. Guys, I don't know a lot about Canada. I really don't.
Clearly.
And joining me and Valerie, once again, Top Shelf Gaming's editor-in-chief, creator, founder, number one crazy person, Marcus Garrett.
Hey there, ladies and
spaghettis. No!
And the worst greeting ever conceived, this side of our door.
You're going to catch on to it. One day...
It's going to sneak in, and I'm going to start saying it, and I'm going to realize it, and I'm just going to explode.
Yeah. And I'll be there.
It's going to be like YOLO. We're going to be like, how did this happen?
Yes.
How did we get here?
And it's then they're going to be like sweatshirts in Forever 21 with like ladies and spaghettis printed on it.
Yeah. And it all started here.
On hey, merch is merch.
Merch is merch.
Merch is merch. Yeah. If you want to make a ladies and spaghetti shirt, I won't agree with it, but I will take people's money to sell it.
Listeners, if you send us a design, it could be the official Top Shelf Gaming Trust Circle shirt. So feel free to send in any of your shirt designs to trustcircle@topshelfgaming.net.
That's Trust Circle with an S.
Yeah.
We need to make sure to like remind people of that. It's circle with an S.
I'll add a redirect. Where if they
you gotta find that second domain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is Trust Circle. This is a podcast we've been doing for some time now. This is sort of the second iteration of it.
Yeah.
There's Trust Circle Classic lingering somewhere in the bowels of
this
the internet.
This is a Trust Circle Zero.
Yeah.
This is Trust Circle Redux DX Championship Edition.
This is a Crystal Trust Circle.
Yeah. Trust Circle New. And if you've been following us for the past few episodes, you have hopefully, number one, enjoyed what you've heard. But you've also...
If not, why are you even here? Yeah. Why are you even here?
Glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
If not, man.
Go do something else.
Number five.
Gosh.
But no, you've been on a bit of a journey with us as we develop what we want this new podcast to be, and it's taking shape, and we're making changes. And so one of these changes you may have noticed from last episode is our topic of the show is now question of the show. So every week, Marcus and I come with all of our vast library of video game knowledge and we spew it out because this is the only place we can actually have a chance to just take the gloves off and go crazy.
There's a lot of metaphors happening here, guys.
However,
got libraries, got gloves, got spewing.
Valerie, for all of her clear love of metaphor, is less versed in video game culture than we are.
She's a noob.
She is a filthy casual.
What?
Things you don't know. We'll get there.
What's a casual?
Oh, okay.
We'll get to your word of the week.
Oh, my glob.
So every week, we're going to talk about something about video games. We'll ask a question. Maybe it's about the culture, the industry, game mechanics.
We'll unpack it.
We'll unpack it. We'll dissect it. We'll dig a little deeper. We'll synergize.
Diagnose it.
We'll diagnose it. Man.
Sink our teeth into it.
Have a good conversation. We'll follow up on that.
We're going to follow up on that.
We'll follow up on that.
We'll double back.
We'll make it an action item.
I hope nobody who is listening right now is like an English learner, because they're just like going to be like, I thought I knew English, but now I'm not so sure. Yes.
So every week we ask a question. We're going to answer that question. Hopefully Valerie will learn a little more about video games. Hopefully Marcus and I will learn a little bit more about something other than video games, because that's pretty much all we know.
Maybe we'll all become better friends in the process.
And we'll all become a little closer. The trust circle will grow a little bigger. And there's always a seat for you.
Always a seat for you.
Just, you know, not really unless you're a guest, because it's a podcast.
The seat's over there in the corner.
Yeah.
But given that...
outside of the circle.
Outside of the circle.
Given that Valerie's knowledge of video games is a little different, and by a little different I mean far less knowledgeable than Marcus and mine.
Almost
in the context,
non-existent.
Almost non-existent, you might say, and as far as video games are concerned, every week, Valerie, we're going to give you a word, a special word that at any moment you can cry out and ask for clarification, a definition, if you just need to say something because we're talking over you.
If I just want some attention.
If you just want some attention, you just yell it out, and we are honor-bound by blood to respect your word of the week. So, what is the word of the week?
Still healing from that.
This
well, my word of the week will be familiar for anybody who watched a certain debate that aired on Monday night. My word of the week. Here, I'll demonstrate it. Okay, guys, start talking about something.
So, did you hear about...
Wrong! Keep going. Keep talking.
Oh, so anyways, I was showing you...
Wrong! Or I'll just do this.
I think wrong will work.
Do we like right. wrong?
So I like wrong.
Okay,
I
wrong.
I think this is going to go wrongly.
Wrong.
But, yeah, so if you need to cry it out, wrong.
Wrong. This is a fun one. I like
wrong. Oh, boy.
I don't know.
What have we done, Marcus?
I already...
No wonder this person likes saying this so much. It's fun.
Regrets.
Wrong.
So let's start out with recapping our weeks. And this week... we have rolled the lots. We've read the bones, the tea leaves, the dregs. And Marcus, you have been called up by the fates to tell us first.
You really want to know about my week? Because I can tell you that something's happened.
I really want to know
the bottom of our hearts.
This was a long week. It was, but very challenging week. But it kind of ended really well. I went, visited my family for the first time in almost 2 months, basically, since we started this podcast. And I got to see them. I got to see my mom, my dad, and my sister. My sister is 11 years old.
Oh my gosh.
She's so old. She's at my lip line now. She's just like super tall, and I don't know like
how she's tall. She's taller, are you sure? Yeah.
Oh man, this is like crazy. But it was great seeing her. But it was kind of interesting because my mom was feeling, I don't know, like I haven't seen her in so long, and you know she really missed me, and so we're kind of just sitting around, and she's doing that mom thing, and she's like talking to me about, you know, what's going on in my life, if I like work, And then she asked me about my love life.
Like moms
and,
do.
And I'm like, uh-oh, please, 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 not now. Not, like, can we just go one time without, mm-hmm. you know, bringing this up? But this actually escalated to a point where it never has. And she started asking me if there was anyone that I was, you know, interested in. And then she, like, looked over at me and
wait,
was
so
like...
Wait, so you haven't told her about May yet?
I haven't told her about May.
You're going to have to tell her at some point. You can't keep her, you know, in that igloo forever.
I can't. No, no. But she
you're going to have to just break that ice sometime.
All of you, stop it.
Podcast is over.
So she looks over at me and she says, "Hey, I'm going to make you a Christian Mingle account." And I, like, kind of laugh, and I'm like, okay, whatever you want, Mom. And, you know, like, my family, we all like to joke. We're all like, really funny. Well, I mean,
bunch
I think...
Bunch of silly boys.
We're all just a bunch of goofers.
Bunch of, like, silly goobers. And I was like, this is a weird joke, a weird thing to, like, bring up.
Yeah.
But whatever, Mom, that's pretty good joke. And then, like, she gets up and leaves and goes into the other room and gets on the family laptop.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
And actually starts creating me
she wasn't joking.
A Christian Mingle profile.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can't make it up.
So, question number one, though.
Yeah.
What's your username?
So all the ladies out there are gonna track you down.
If you're looking for a nice single black man, you can find me on Christian Mingle under the username that my mother came up with, Live Love Pray 2020.
Oh my gosh. Why 2020? What's happening then?
I don't know.
Is that like your deadline? You have to find love within 4 years.
Turn back
actually,
into...
That's when she wants grandchildren by. So,
jeez.
So
the clock is ticking.
So it's less time, yeah.
Yeah. I thought as a woman, my biological clock is ticking.
Well, a woman's is. It's just Marcus's mom.
Yeah, it's just for me, that clock signifies when my mom stops loving me.
Gosh.
So it's very different. Both are heartbreaking in their own way. And I don't know, it was a really interesting experience because, I mean, what do you do in that situation? Like, how do you react when, like, you're watching your mom, like, creating this dating profile
mm-hmm.
for you on this really awkward website?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking, and she's not very technologically savvy,
mm-hmm.
so I was helping her.
You were helping her.
You're helping her sabotage
your own profile.
Yeah. See, like, the only way you kind of get past this,
mm-hmm.
right, is just, I mean, for me, it's just humor.
Mm-hmm.
It's me looking at this situation and being like, this is completely ridiculous. Like, I'm not okay with any
mm-hmm.
of this, but it's happening.
This
so
is
just
a,
roll
this is
with
a
it.
Question that has not been answered yet. It's been created by this new digital landscape of social media and profiles. Like, moms, you know, if she wanted to embarrass you back in the day, she could have just, like, you know, when she was picking you up from school, leaned out of the window of the car and called you by your family nickname
yeah.
or something, right? But nope.
Hey there, boo-boo. Love you.
Yeah.
But now today, she has the power to
mm-hmm.
create a profile of me, an online persona. But I mean,
oh man, I was gonna look it up, but after log, I'm not making my own account just to look you up.
Oh, like you got it. You have to have an account to see.
Yeah.
What
I can link
those,
to it,
yeah,
in the
deeds.
Show notes.
But look,
so.
You too could be a happy white couple.
Yeah, I too could be a happy white couple, and made possible with ChristianMingle.com. No, it's, yeah, it's I don't know. It's you. I just had to laugh at it. I just had
mm-hmm.
to be like, this is happening. And so just lean into it.
You had to just turn the other cheek?
I did.
Whoa, woof.
Yeah, I did.
Well, so here's the thing. What happens when you meet, like, the love of your life through Live, Love, Pray 2020?
I'm not betting.
That's the only way the story ends.
I mean, as long as my mom keeps checking it, then she could find me someone, I guess. I suppose. That onus is on her completely. But I was reading, I was reading, like, what you wrote about me and just kind of getting a sense of, like, what her perception of me is and, like, what she wrote under interests and, like,
stuff. Seeing yourself through her eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, it's just a very interesting thing. Like, one thing that she wrote under my interests was biking. And I'm like, I don't own a bike.
When was
bike.
The last time you were on a bike?
Years, probably. I'm like, why did she write that? And then, she, like, wrote weightlifting, and I was like, I don't know if you want to be saying these things. She's like, she was like, well, I want you to go weightlifting, so, you know, I want to. It's like future
you.
It's
more like her suggestions for you.
You can't spell live, love, pray without lie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So that was my week.
Well, make sure to tune in next week for an update on Marcus's Christian Mingle love life.
Yeah, so ladies and spaghettis minus the spaghettis.
I'm going to say primarily spaghettis.
Depends on the emphasis of that word. Anyway, how was your week, Devin?
My week was nowhere near as fun and interesting.
I wouldn't call that fun. I would call it interesting, sure. I don't know if that was fun for me.
How was my week? My week was fine. I worked.
Yes.
It was stupid hot here in Orange County.
It's so hot. It's dumb.
So hot.
It's finally fall. Like last week was like the first like official like full week of fall, which should have been.
It's October, which is fall in my book.
It should have been the best week of the year.
Is that your favorite?
Oh,
week?
Fall is my zone.
That's your season.
This is my season. So basically winter too, because it's the same thing. But like this half of the year is where I thrive. I don't like the heat. I don't care for the sun. I don't really care for the beach. I don't
What's
know what
the sun
I'm
ever done for anyone anyway?
I don't know what I'm doing in North County.
Nothing.
I just kind of sweated at home working a lot. But I did purchase a few games this week. I bought Assassin's Creed Unity.
Wrong. What's that one?
There's
like
that
a million
didn't
of those,
work.
Right?
Yeah, no. So there are a lot of Assassin's Creed games, and generally speaking, I am a fan of the Assassin's Creed games. I like the universe. I like their whole cheesy, goofy, weird time traveling shtick. But Assassin's Creed Unity, it takes play. Well, I don't really, for all intents and purposes. Takes place
for
in...
For all intensive purposes?
During the French Revolution. So you're in Paris as an assassin. You know, we'll ignore the weird time-traveling memory stuff. You play an assassin during the French Revolution. When this game came out a couple of years ago, it was kind of broken.
Not just kind of broken. It was completely
it was very...
Like, it just didn't work? Coding, like,
yes,
bugs,
yeah.
Like...
At a code level, this game was having major issues. So there are some pretty fun images from the release of this game where, like, the face textures wouldn't like load on characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you build like a 3D model. Like, again, this is me speaking from my not knowing anything really about 3D modeling perspective. Like, you make pieces, and so like their face texture like just wouldn't be there. But their hair would, and their eyes would, and their mouth would.
I love that.
And so they would just be like this weird floating terror monster of just like this massive like monstrous hair and these like floating eyeballs and this like horrifying red like mouth. And just like crazy animation glitches. Things wouldn't run. The game would crash like at just any like slight provocation. But they released like 4 or 5 major updates for it. It plays fine. It still seems kind of clunky.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not as smooth and streamlined as Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag or Syndicate.
It's the pirate one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Black Flag is the pirate one.
Syndicate I used context clues.
Yar!
Nailed it!
Assassin's Creed! And then Assassin's Creed.
That's my British accent. Was that your Irish accent?
No. There was no.
Is Dame Skippy?
It was Assassin's Creed Rogue. Shouldn't do accents.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to call it party foul.
Yeah.
No, so, you know, but it works. And it's actually a really pretty game.
I can confirm that it's pretty. I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, I have Syndicate. Really I've played nice. Through Syndicate to completion. I like Syndicate.
Wrong this, with Syndicate.
That was the London one.
Okay.
The new one. The newest release.
I really like this game. Wrong.
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 That should always be your word.
Pretty good, isn't it? Yeah,
the thing that I actually appreciate about this game more than both Black Flag and Syndicate, this game feels a lot like Assassin's Creed 2. And the thing that Assassin's Creed 2, in a lot of ways, well, it's a lot of people's favorite kind of run of the series because it's a lot more nuanced. Like, the controls are more nuanced and it's a little bit slower paced of a game. In this game, Unity, it feels more evocative of that than Assassin's Creed 4 or Syndicate, where things were kind of just more automated. The combat in Syndicate is literally 2 buttons, and you just kind of hit them. You can, like, repeat, like, alternate them, and you're just going to win every fight. Like, it's fun to watch, but it's not really that fun to play. And then they streamlined the climbing a lot, which, like, is fun to just get around. But it takes no mental like work to do anything. This game, you have some more control over that. It's kind of clunky, but it's reminding me of those Assassin's Creed 2 games, which I like a lot. And because we know that I like player customization, you can modify specific parts of your costume instead of just whole outfits, which I super appreciate. And so I have my styling Arno assassin. Arno is the guy's name.
Arno.
So I've been enjoying that. It was $12, so you know I definitely wouldn't have paid full price for this game ever. But
did you like the ability to be able to customize your character into a female?
Well, you see, so you have to animate people.
What is going on here?
You have a word. Problem. You have a word for this.
Yeah, word.
Wrong.
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 So
that is my word.
Prior to release of this game, Ubisoft, who is a company who developed this game, they came under flack because people were upset you couldn't play as a female assassin. There's multiplayer in this game. People were like, why you can customize your character? Why can't I be a female? Their response was because that was
it's hard.
It's hard to animate. They said it's hard to animate women. They clarified it's hard to animate like a secondary character. Like they'd have to add a whole new set of animations.
Yeah.
Which I can see a little bit of validity to, but not enough of that to be an actual excuse.
And then their next game.
And then so the next game you play as 2 main characters, who are brother and sister. There's your.
Well, at least they addended it. They
found the animation.
They figured it out. They cracked the code, guys.
That was a fun couple of weeks of drama. But yeah, so I'm enjoying that game and seeing where it's going to go. I also just bought Cluster Truck.
Watch your mouth. This is a family show.
Swear to God.
Cluster Truck is awesome. It is a...
Also, please use that voice more, Marcus. That was great.
Oh, me or man.
Oh, my gosh.
Marcus is Southern Belle. Give me a slap.
I do declare.
Yikes.
Ooh.
So, Cluster Truck. It's just like time trials. You have to jump
Wrong.
On trucks.
Wrong is a time trial.
What's it sound like? A time to try.
I can use context clues all I want, but if I use them all the time, then I'm not going to be able to use my word.
Think of,
she wants to let her use her word.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Time trial. Okay, think of like an obstacle course that you have to do and you're trying to get the best time. Ninja Warrior.
Okay.
Time trial.
Truck Ninja Warrior.
American Ninja Truck. American Ninja Truck Warrior, the game.
American Ninja Truck Warrior.
It's good, it's dumb, it's silly. go watch a video or something. It's ridiculous. You just jump from truck to truck. It's super physics-y, so the trucks are doing weird things, and you're jumping, and you get powers, and it's a good classic, just no... I almost said no nonsense. All nonsense.
This is all nonsense.
Just have fun game.
Super grounded.
What do you think the probability was that the studio developed the game after they came up with the pun? Like, they're like, cluster truck, lol.
It's probably more likely that they came up with the pun first.
Right?
And then built the whole game around it.
Yeah.
I don't know. The developers are Swedish. Not that it has anything to do with how they're naming conventions.
For the last time, I'm not Swedish.
But it's a Swedish game. I'm playing on PS4. It's also out on PC.
Yeah. Overwatch reference.
I think it's coming out on Xbox One soonish, according to their Twitter account. It's a good, dumb, fun game. I've been having fun.
Cool.
Games. Valerie, tell me all about all the games you've been playing this week.
I've been playing a game called
Life.
Kill Flying Termites.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
It's a game.
What console is
that you
on?
Play in the console of life.
Oh, nice.
Actually, the console of this apartment, because our bug adventures continued with the new release called Flying Termites from the Ceiling onto our faces this week.
It was the sequel to... Is there a hole in our... Yes,
the sequel to we found a pile of something that looked like... It looked like tiny uniform sand. And we were like, this is weird. There's like one pile of sand on this table. And it was like in a perfectly like circular array. And we were like, what is this stuff? Like, what is this mystery?
And then my dad's teaching kicked in.
Well, only after Devin...
Oh, well.
Devin tasted it with his tongue.
Oh!
And then Devin remembered that, hey, that's what termite poop looks like. Devin ate termite poop.
I was like, what is this? Is it seeds? I just tasted one.
And then we were like, oh, this is red underneath. What's that? A hole in the ceiling.
I figured one of whatever it was probably wouldn't kill me.
Where termite poop was raining down from the ceiling, like Ferris Ultimate.
And it occurred to me exactly what it was. Like, as soon as I had finished putting it in my mouth, I was like, huh? Oh, yes.
Anyway, so that happened probably about a month or so ago. Since then, we've had, like, termite guys. They've been, like, you can tell they've been, like, patching up and repairing, like, old wood all around the apartment complex. But then, this week, we started seeing these, like, weird bugs that they just fall out of the sky and, like, lie on you. And we're like, they're so dumb. They don't do anything. Upon a modicum of research, we learned that these are alates, which are winged termites, because apparently termites are workers, soldiers, or alates. Oh. And alates are basically sex fiends. Their only purpose is to reproduce and start more termite colonies, and that's why they're so dumb and don't do anything.
Yeah, they have, no idea, what the world is. It's like, all I do is dirty stuff. I'm just a little dirty bird termite, so...
So they just kept falling out of the sky onto us, and we had to kill them.
It's like Buck Bumble... Two.
Buck Bumble.
Buck Bumble.
Wrong. Is that a game?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It is a game from a bygone era.
Nintendo 64. You played as a bumblebee and you did stuff.
Bee movie, the game.
You attempted to do stuff.
That game was almost unplayable.
It was almost unplayable, but it had a sweet song.
It had a great theme song.
Yeah, it had scatty rap. Oh, it's amazing. Wow. Again, YouTube it.
We also went to the local carnival on Friday.
Preston Tiller Days.
Going to the carnival.
And we didn't go on any rides because it would have cost like $60 for us both to go on rides to get like the ride wristband.
Mm-hmm.
So we just like...
We watched the rides.
We watched...
You overwatched
the rides.
Yes.
The rides.
My jokes are not good today. I'm so sorry.
Gotta get the bad ones out first.
Yeah, you
gotta clear them out.
The good ones are on the way.
Yeah, I a little deeper. Gotta get the diamond level there.
Yeah.
And then we started watching Luke Cage on Netflix.
Luke Cage.
It's out. It's really good.
It's really good.
We're
Netflix.
Like five episodes in or so.
Netflix is doing good.
It's really good. It's just. It's well-written, and, like, every dialogue, you're like, that makes sense for that person to say. And it, like, moves the story forward or develops a character. And then there was just one little thing that I want to point out for those of you who've yet to start watching it. I think it's in the second episode. So in this show, a couple times they've done that thing that you might have seen in shows like Sherlock, or I think it's in House of Cards 2, where when a character texts, instead of having the camera cut to showing what their cell phone screen looks like, a bubble will just pop up next to the character, and then the letters will be typed out in real time. And there's a video on YouTube about this that I watched that explains why this is just a lot more successful of a way of showing what the characters are texting. It's on the YouTube channel called Every Frame a Painting, so if you want to look into that, check that out. But in this show, in Luke Cage, when this one character is texting, this is something that I had never seen before. He starts typing, and on the screen, in like a little bubble popping up next to the character, it says new, and then as he keeps texting, it changes to meet, and he's like, meet me tonight. And that was the first time I'd seen it show an autocorrect in this, like, on-screen depiction of texting.
That's...
And at that moment, Dev and I just looked at each other and we were like, "Oh,
that's really cool." Do you... I mean, that's a choice that they made. Mm-hmm. Do you think that had any significance to the actual story? Or, was it foreshadowing something? Or
It probably actually took me out of the story just a little bit, as opposed to it just point-blank saying, like, meet me tonight at yada, 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 or whatever that character was texting. But I do think it just shows how once, like, something innovative happens in an on-screen depiction of something new, like texting, something digital, how that keeps kind of being modified as people figure out, like, more sophisticated ways of showing it.
Yeah.
So it was a cute touch.
For me, I think, you know, it was clearly intentional because someone designed that. And for me, I think it actually enhanced not the story itself, but the world,
maybe the realism
that Marvel's building with these shows, because as opposed to their movies, you know, all three of these shows, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Man, wow. Luke Cage, well, then Iron Fist, who will be the next one to get done, their perspective is very human, whereas the movies are all about the heroes. This is about, like, regular people in the city dealing with the aftermath of these heroes. And so, you know, there are a lot of small details that drive home the humanity of these characters more so than in the movies. And so seeing this guy, like, you know, his phone autocorrects or he typed it wrong or whatever, you know, he's a bad guy, but, it just shows him, it's like, oh, it's just, he's just a regular guy with a phone that does this thing.
These shows are a lot more, I guess you'd say, gritty. They're not as, like, shiny chrome.
Yeah, they're grown.
You know, like, totally art-directed as the movies are. They're art-directed in, like, a more kind of, like, almost like intentionally slightly grungy way to make them feel more lived in and realistic.
And I think that's what's cool about the Marvel Netflix series. I mean, cool and maybe works for it and works against it in certain ways. I like how you feel like these things are actually happening and, like, are happening in our world, whereas the films, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it feels like, even if they're like, oh, we are in New York, or like, we are in Dubai, we're in these real locations, it always just feels like movie versions.
Comic world.
As realistic as they can depict them, it still feels, you know, more artificial than these do, where people keep referencing the fact that there are these, like, people with superheroes living in the real city. They'll be like, oh, or you're one of those.
Yeah.
And it's more, I mean, one could speculate that it's more accurate to how it would be,
hypothetically. And the bend world that they seem to be working towards, you know, they seem to be working towards combining these universes. You know, they're very clear that all of these shows and the movies, it's all complete. It's not like DC with, they have their split stuff and Arrow's not the same universe as the Justice League movies and all that. And so, you know, with something like Spider-Man coming up, like, that's a movie, but they seem to be pushing it as more grounded, similar to the shows, than the Avengers or Iron Man or Thor movies have all been. And so that might be their first step in sort of beginning to merge these into one. And I would love to see either a cameo from one of the movie stars in the shows, or the other way around, you know, just throw Jessica Jones up there with, you know, and they're moving towards Infinity War, they're moving towards these bigger stories that bring in all these characters. And so that seems to be the case. I think they're doing amazing stuff. I think they're doing the best you could possibly do with trying to bring...
with just a behemoth of a franchise.
I was watching a video about Luke Cage's, like, comic history.
Yeah.
Like, comics are so convoluted just because they're the way the medium works. And so to see Netflix, you know, you can say what you want about the movies, you know, Valerie, you don't care for all the
movies
that much.
I've sort of lost interest in the movies, whereas I've been super into the TV shows on Netflix.
But, you know, despite you not liking the movies, like,
I don't like them.
They're successfully building. They're accomplishing exactly what they're trying to do. And DC is not doing that at all.
DC.
DC stands for don't care.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, oh my.
Let's take a break to put some.
That was a low blow.
Let's take a break to put some ice on that sick burn.
So
and
sick.
When we return, we will address our question of the show. How do video games contextualize violence?
So as May would say, freeze, don't move.
How's it going? Hope you guys stayed with us. We did all sorts of weird things during the break.
They'll never know about.
It got real weird in here. It did.
But now, let's address our question of the show, which is, how do video games contextualize violence? Which seems like a big, weird, heady question. Maybe it is. We'll find out. But video games have a lot of different ways of addressing violence, justifying violence, showing violence, using violence. But Valerie, I want to start by asking you, as an outsider kind of looking in, when you think of the words video games and violence, what are some of the things that just kind of jump out at you and just spring to mind?
I mean, I think they are innately intertwined to a certain extent. It also depends on what you personally see as violent. Even in like a game, was it G for General or is that, no, that's movies. What is it? E for Everybody.
E for Everyone.
Even in an E for Everybody game, like, you still can stomp on a creature or like punch a creature. And I mean, is that violent? Whereas in other games, you can like annihilate somebody with like a gun and then like they will like spray blood. That's, one might say, objectively violent. I think there is a lot of hullabaloo made by non-gamers who view the violence depicted in video games as, like, threatening. But I think that the level of violence in your video games is entirely dependent on, like, the game itself. Like, not every video game is violent, just like not every movie is violent. A lot of times movies use violence even either because they can, because it's part of the world they want to create, because the rating that they have allows them to do so. And it's the same with video games. Like, if violence in video games isn't your cup of tea, then just don't play a violent video game. I don't think it's like,
well, I mean, what you're making me think of is, like, there are movies, a lot of children's movies have a lot of violence in them, but it's slapstick comedy.
Yeah,
you know, it's like cute little characters. I'm thinking of like Minions, where all of their scenes that are in Despicable Me 1, 2, and then in the Minions movie, it's most of it is just them hurting each other.
It's like non-destructive, non-lethal violence.
To that point, we went to Universal a year or two ago, and we went on the Minions ride.
Which is a good ride.
It's a good ride, but, like, the ride is literally you just, like, avoiding horrific death for, like, 4 minutes, and that's, like, horrific death.
Yeah. With, like, missiles and, like, traps and all these things that
I narrowly avoided getting steamrolled by that. Oh, I narrowly avoided falling into that pit of death.
Oh, here's this buzzsaw. Oh, oops, it just missed us.
Oh, I narrowly avoided it.
No, that's true. And it's like I mean, this question is like, how do video games contextualize violence? And I think that's such a profound question because it's like, well, violence, is it really violence if nobody's getting hurt? And the one who is getting hurt, like, that could just be the audience. Like, if the audience isn't affected by that violence, or doesn't perceive it as violence, like when you're playing Mario, you can jump on certain enemies and you jump on their heads and then they flatten and just, like, you know, go poof. And, like, you're actually killing them, right? Like you are destroying their very essence.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't think anybody... Well, I'm sure... I mean, most people would not consider that a violent game or mm-hmm. any excessively violent game.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Okay. I'm also thinking of... this other game, it's called Injustice. And
oh, here we go, yeah.
It is a rated T for teen game.
Wrong. Wait, which game is that? It sounds familiar.
It is kind of like Mortal Kombat, but it's with DC superheroes.
I've seen Devin play that. Yeah, so, you can play as like Wonder Woman or like Aquaman or whatever.
Yeah.
Fun game.
Very fun game. That game really bothered me because it's rated teen. It's... you know, they're obviously superheroes and they're fighting each other and then they're punching.
I have just a clarifying question I want to make. If mm-hmm. something's rated T for teen, what is allowed at that rating or not?
I would say it's really the difference between PG-13 and R.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's kind of that nebulous idea of like what those two things are, but then when you see it, you're like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Hiss is clearly more mature. The Hiss is a lot more, whether it's blood,
mm-hmm.
whether it's language, whether it's nudity, sex.
Mm-hmm.
I think you kind of can make, I think that's the easiest comparison.
It's the easiest, and like some, you know, G to PG-13 or PG-13 R, like, there are often, and certainly sometimes, some very small nuances that'll push a game over.
Mm-hmm.
Or under, and the ESRB actually has, on their site, will have a very detailed rundown of
mm-hmm.
why this game is listed this way, and they'll even do things that they'll specifically cite moments in a game.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, like, you can actually have a game spoiled for you if you read the detailed ratings.
Yeah.
But they do break it down, but in general, I think the movie system is...
Mm-hmm. It's comparable.
Pretty comparable for just about anything you're going to want it to.
So
compare.
G, general audiences, is E, everybody.
Yeah.
T, teen, is PG-13. And I guess PG is also E.
Yeah.
And then R is... What's R?
M for mature.
Yeah.
Okay.
And are they still doing the E10 plus? Is that still in use?
I think we still have E10. But so I mean,
like PG, kind of.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah. Like, actually, there you go. It's PG.
It's not Bambi. It's more like...
It's like in the Incredibles.
It's a little edgier.
A little bit edgier.
A little edgier.
But not like adult.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit.
I think
E10 usually is just like kid friendly games that are more on the violent
mm-hmm.
side.
So yeah, so E10 games would probably, a lot of them would have what is listed as cartoon violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With a specific call out from the ESRB.
And I have another question before you get back
mm-hmm.
to your point about Injustice, Marcus. Like, to what extent do these ratings regulate the games? Like, can a 13-year-old buy an M for mature game? Or
no.
Can only an adult do that?
Only an adult can...
Adult of 18
yeah.
years
yeah.
and older?
Okay. There has been a lot of conversation about that. And it... The industry in general, I think, has buckled down or doubled down on enforcing those rules.
To what extent can they?
I mean, it's all retailers that are selling these things.
So like you can't buy a game online, then?
Well, there's always that way, but you need credit card.
Yeah.
You need forms of paying for those things.
So like conceivably, kids cover your ears. Conceivably, like a 13-year-old could like swipe his parents like. Credit card
and
buy an M
sure.
game.
I mean, that's the way we've
sure.
been doing it for years.
Yeah. Yeah, no, of course, that's
okay.
a reason. But no, there was a few years ago, you know, there was a lot of talk about that because a lot of retailers were not upholding those standards. And it was a lot easier in general for miners to buy M-rated games. And then there's all the discussion about marketing and M-rated games being marketed clearly towards a teenage audience and all of that.
Because they know they're going to play them anyways, right?
Yeah. High schoolers are playing Call of Duty. That's
12-year-olds.
Like,
8-year-olds are playing Call of Duty.
I mean, when I was
babies playing Call of Duty.
When I was a youth
embryos.
When I was a youth pastor, and we had a 360 in the youth room, and like we had Call of Duty there.
Yeah.
But nobody was like batting an eye, right?
No one.
So,
quote unquote cared, but
so like is it because parents are like, I'm saying ignorant, but I don't mean ignorant. I mean ignorant in the sense of like just uninformed due to not caring. If a parent is like ignorant that it's rated M, would only then they kind of allow the kid to play the game, or is it more just like
I've seen both. I've seen parents who are just completely ignorant that I think a lot of the older generation, because video games are such a new thing, it's they're only 30 years old.
Yeah.
So a lot of people who didn't grow up playing video games, they have this idea that video games are for children.
They're like all Atari and Pong.
Yeah.
And, like,
and so any game that their babby wants.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay, well, go play this.
The idea of needing to age rate those isn't even a concept in their head.
Yeah. Yeah. But then there's the other side of, like, parents who just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
One of our writers, Jesse, worked at a video game retailer,
mm-hmm.
a mom and pop shop, and he and he just... Like, parents would always come in,
mm-hmm.
and their, like, little 8-year-old, 12-year-old kid would be asking for Grand Theft...
Just point at it.
Auto, yeah. And, I mean, historical... Like...
Sorry. I love that example, because I just imagine this 8-year-old kid pointing to a game whose title is a felony.
Yeah.
And a parent being like, oh, this seems fine. It's just cars. Like,
yeah. And it's like, I mean, you know, after watching Devin play it, and probably just its notoriety that Grand Theft Auto lets it to do a lot of things.
I've
that
seen
aren't
enough to
legal.
Know that it's earned its M rating.
We want to talk about violence in games.
And so Jesse would say to these parents, like, hey, maybe you shouldn't give them that game because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And what surprised him and what surprises me is that oftentimes the parents were just like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And we're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we think they just, like, didn't know to what extent it got explicit with those themes?
In my mind, it's probably just goes back to that perception of just games being... Whatever.
Games be games. Games are toys. Games are cheap. Games are for kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to injustice. And the problems you had with injustice.
So, let's compare Injustice with Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. They're made by the same studio.
Mortal Kombat's the one that's like hyper-violent, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen a couple of finishes in that.
So, Mortal Kombat is super, super violent, and... You can break people's limbs, and there's this whole, like, one of what it's known for are the fatalities.
That's what it is,
yeah. And so at the end of a match, if you whittle down your opponent's health, and these are fighting games for those of you who don't know, so it's one player versus another player just punching and kicking whatever, and so when your opponent's health is at the very end, you can kind of stun them, and if you perform this really complicated button sequence,
a combo, right?
Not quite.
I tried.
But it's just this, think of it as kind of like a cheat code,
mm-hmm.
and you're pressing like all these this like random string of buttons. You will do a fatality, which is this mm-hmm. really, really gruesome way of just obliterating your opponent to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things are just extremely graphic, extremely brutal.
It's like violence to the point of camp, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like ludicrous.
And it's
intentionally
ludicrous. It's intentionally campy, and we might, you know, that may be something worth kind of talking about more after this. But yeah, they are extremely graphic, extremely over the top, and every subsequent game, more and more so.
Yeah.
Like, you can cover your ears if you don't like blood and guts. Like, you can pull someone's, like, spine out of their body, right?
That's like low-key?
That's baby stuff.
It's baby stuff? Oh, heavens.
And Mortal Kombat has had plenty of time on the news for this whole reason.
Yeah, so it's...
So, Injustice, made by the same people, is a fighting game as well, but just with superheroes, and it's rated teen.
Mm-hmm.
There's some blood, and there's... Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's... way more subdued. It's like very minor, and
mm-hmm.
I'm bringing this up because there's one thing about this game, about the first Injustice, that just makes my stomach churn.
Really?
And it's the Joker,
mm-hmm.
the Joker mm-hmm. character, his super move is this like really kind of like comical thing where I forgot what the like sequence is, but like he does all of these things where he'll hit you with a rocket or something.
Yeah, he throws a laughing gas canister and it hits you, and then he shoots you with a rocket, and he probably hits you with the crowbar that he has too.
Yeah. So he's slapping you around
mm-hmm.
with a crowbar. He shoots you with a rocket launcher, and then to end it, he shoots you in the face point blank,
mm-hmm.
and
with a pistol, with a gun.
Yeah, and then if you win as the Joker, he'll like take your body, and he'll pour gasoline on you, and mm-hmm. then he'll set you on fire. But like you don't see your body burning,
mm-hmm.
but you
the camera is from your perspective on the ground. You're seeing him on over you
from a worm's eye view, mm-hmm. as they call it.
Yes. And that makes me so uncomfortable.
Really?
Because in that game, in that world, like, that amount of violence is not, like, that's not the status quo. Like, mm-hmm. like that's not what that game is.
I'm trying to think, because I've owned this game twice. I've played quite a bit of it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of any other fatality where the player is very clearly killed. I can't think of any other instance, any other finishing move, because they're not called fatalities in the game. I can't think of any other instance where a player is clearly depicted as dead, other than like the story stuff. Or
maybe
as in like they could you could just say they're knocked out or whatever.
Yeah, well, and the game is clear to show the character moving after you defeat them.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
like they'll get back up on one arm and like in like a defeated position, but they're not dead very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But with Joker, it's like he kills you, and then he's laughing, you know, and it's just really twisted.
Is the extra, like, brutality intentional because he's like, he's the Joker, he's so unhinged,
Yeah.
One other wrinkle to this is, before Injustice came out, there was another game, also same developer, it was Mortal Kombat versus DC, so it was the two universes combined, and this is actually the origin of that Joker finishing move. This game is also rated T because it's DC, it's comic heroes, so you didn't see the characters die. This finishing move was still in that game, but it happened... I actually forget which version made it into the final build. There were two versions they showed. One, it was the gun thing, but it happened off-screen. You just saw his hand go off-screen with the gun, you heard the gunshot. And there was another version that was with the gun, but then he shot it, and it was like the flag, the bang.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which version ended up being in it, because there was some controversy about it.
Yeah.
But they tone it down because it was a T-rated game, and then Justice comes out, and it's, you know, it's like, no, now we're showing you the full thing. Still a T-rated game.
Hmm.
But, yeah, it's... So, I actually didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just... Like, my best friend in college, him and I would play that all the time, and his favorite character... was Joker,
mm-hmm.
and so I saw that a lot, and it made me so uncomfortable.
Just like,
if it were Mortal Kombat, I don't think I would have minded it. But I think just in that context where like no one's dying, where no one's being killed, it completely changed it.
It's a microcosm within that game. Or that might not be the right word, but it like it takes you out of that world, I guess. Whereas in Mortal Kombat, you're like ready to accept, you know, that violence with like a grain of salt or something.
Yeah. So
it just seems out of place, I guess.
I mean,
in that world.
Yeah. I think that's the perfect way to put it. So, I mean, what do you think about that? Because, you know, like that reaction that I had is like very, it's like very real. And even thinking about it now, I'm like getting a little bit queasy, but I've played much more violent games. So, I mean, what does that say in terms of how video games use violence and overall?
Maybe because it's such a very, like, I mean, I'm speaking off the cuff, no cuffs here. Maybe just because that's like a very different, almost like personal form of violence. Whereas like, I mean, it's violent, but it's not like as quote unquote, like blood and gutsy as all the other Mortal Kombat like fatalities.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it's a little bit more, I mean, like sadistic, I guess. And which, you know, fits with the Joker's character, but like, I mean, it is interesting that resonates with you so much, but it also, I guess, is not entirely surprising since it seems so removed from what you've come to expect from, you know, standard video game violence.
Yeah.
And I think it goes to, I don't know if it proves the point, but I think it presents the argument that, you know, the amount of graphic content of violence doesn't necessarily describe the level of violence. You know, I can play Mortal Kombat, and like, because it's so intentionally campy, I'm not really disturbed by the violence.
Wrong. Campy. You've said that a few times, and I've
take it out.
Really?
And I've just been like nodding, but I honestly haven't known what you guys are saying.
Okay. Let's see. I know kind of generally kind of like what this means.
Tongue in cheek.
I know a thing. Okay. I think like imagine like a Quentin Tarantino movie, like blood that looks, you know, like corn syrup and red food dye.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, it's obvious, and it's like almost so fake that it looks silly.
Yeah.
It's like so fake that you can't take it seriously. Like, that's kind of what campy is.
Okay.
As opposed to like, as opposed to you being like, oh, like having a visceral reaction when you watch it. You have like a comical reaction when you laugh at it. When you see it.
Which is actually why, for me personally, I am not that viscerally affected by the violence in Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto is an extremely satirical, campy game. You know, there's a scene in Grand Theft Auto 5 where, like, you're literally, like, you're torturing somebody. But the whole situation, from the setup to the execution of it, no pun intended, it's very, very satirical. And it gets dark, and, like, you know, you can choose, like, how you know, enhance interrogation this guy.
Cool.
You know, it's not necessarily that graphic, but, you know, people, unsurprisingly, were upset by this scene. Your character, after the interrogation, you help the character that you just, you know, tortured escape, because your whole thing is, you know, like, yeah, the FBI people you're working for, like, they're crazy, they're stupid, so, like, you do your thing, and then you help the guy escape. And just the situation is so, it's dark, and it's violent, but it's not serious. And at least for me, I recognize it as violent, but it's not as violent as something. Well, you know, I think your Joker example is a really good example of that. Another one. There's a few in my mind. So I've been playing Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs.
Wrong was that?
It's a game.
For the sake of our listeners.
For the sake of our listeners.
Sorry, I'm sorry, listeners, that Devin doesn't care about you.
It's an open world game.
About?
You're a hacker and you gotta do hack stuff.
It's okay.
I'm trying, guys.
I don't want to spend a long time describing the game. The game itself isn't important.
Okay.
Bad guy kidnaps your sister, because you're kind of a bad, you're a criminal and you do bad things, you get kind of caught.
So you're like an anti-hero.
Sure. You are literally a vigilante. You're recognized on the street as a vigilante. And there's this mission where in as part of your plan to find your sister and rescue her, you decide you're going to take the identity of this person at like a illegal auction. And in doing so, you're gonna assassinate this guy. And Watch Dogs is also satirical in some ways, but I think in general, at least this first game, pretty straight laced. Like, your character's pretty dour. It's kind of one of the critiques of the game. The world itself is kind of satirical, but you and the story, more often than not, I think, is trying to take itself seriously or be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And so even me, you know, like, the game goes out of its way to tell you this guy's a bad guy. Like, he's just a no-good criminal. But I'm in this position because I did wrong. My sister got kidnapped, and so my plan is to murder this other guy who has nothing to do with my problem. Simply because your character decides that it's worth it and justified. And so for me, like, that hits me as, like, dark. And, like, it wasn't that violent. I think I ran him over with a car. Like, yeah, that's violent, but, like...
Not that violent.
Compared to waterboarding someone and, like, breaking their knee with a wrench, no, it's not as violent. You know, on a literal level.
On a pain scale?
Depends on, like, it, on you personally.
Everything's subjective. But, you know, it was, like, a second-long thing, and it was done. But...
He didn't feel a thing.
He didn't feel a thing. But... That, for me, like, affected me more than I think anything I've really done in Grand Theft Auto. It seems weird when... Or not weird. It's interesting how different games justify the violence they have you do. And do you think... How a game tries to justify the violence you commit actually changes how violent a game is, or is it? Does that not really make a difference if you're still killing someone? Is it still killing someone?
For me, it does make a difference. Like, Uncharted is a good example.
Oh, here we go, yeah.
And
wrong. That's the game where you're, like, an explorer.
Indiana
guy?
Jones, the video game.
Okay.
Yes.
You're, like, cool modern Indiana Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And
National Treasure, but without Nick Cage.
Which is a disservice.
Uncaged.
Uncaged, yes. And in that game, you're just this explorer, and, I mean, Valerie, have you seen Indiana Jones? Any of the movies?
I've seen the first one, and I've seen, like, a little bit of the second one.
So...
But I've seen the first one a lot.
Imagine if Harrison Ford, mm-hmm. if Indiana was a, like, basically same character,
mm-hmm.
but all of the henchmen that he faces, mm-hmm. he just murders them
with a gun.
A submachine gun. Like, how would... Like, how do you think your perception of that character would change?
I mean, he goes from, like lovable scamp to, like, I mean, questionable anti-hero at best, like, savage at worst.
But he's still that same lovable guy. He's, you know, still handsome, and he's still witty, and uh-huh. he's still heroic.
I think the video games have a different precedent for heroes. Like that's kind of normal for your hero guy to go about doing, right? It's just, like, offing people.
Yeah, whereas, but, like, I mean, I think my argument is that,
uh-huh.
like, what you, like, that changes Nathan Drake. Like that makes that Uncharted character less likable.
Yeah, especially since his motivation isn't some just righteous cause. Like, he's in search of treasure. Like, he's searching for, like, lost cities and gold.
Yeah.
He's not saving his family or, you know, rescuing the kidnapped president or something. Like, he's just... It's a purely selfish motivation that is costing the lives of literally thousands of people who are after the same thing.
It's... And the game kind of glosses over it, too.
And the whole time, you're making, like, jokes about it and, like, laughing, like, ha ha, live through that one again. Ha, shucks.
Yeah, yeah. It's always rubbed me the wrong way. Just, I mean, not to mention the fact that the shooting in most of those games just isn't very good. But anyway, it's more of, like, it's... My favorite part of those games are the actual climbing and the actual exploration, yeah. But whenever I come to a shootout area,
mm-hmm.
a battle, a confrontation, I'm always just like, man, this is, like, I would...
And in this particular game, sorry not to cut you off, in this particular game, like, in those instances, like, there's no way of getting out of that situation non-lethally.
I think in the fourth one.
So the fourth game, they offer opportunities to avoid some conflict. Not every conflict, but some. And I actually want to bring that up. How did you feel the fourth? Because I feel like the fourth one at least attempted to actually address.
Yeah.
That idea that, like, hey Nathan, you've been murdering people for three games now.
Yeah.
What's up with that? And, like, his wife, like, you know. Quite literally, like, calls him out on it a couple times during the story, and he kind of has to confront who he's become. You know, it never really just like, oh yeah, you've killed thousands of people, but, you know, because that'd be a ridiculous thing to actually put in a narrative. but how do you think Uncharted 4 dealt with that idea?
I think even just the simple acknowledgement was enough for me. Just like. Because, I mean, the game is semi-grounded just in the way that Indiana Jones is. It's
mm-hmm.
like, well, we've never been to these, you know, temples. So, like, we don't know if there actually are these, you know, temples that have traps and...
Booby traps.
Yeah, yeah.
Gold monkeys.
Stuff. Yeah, and I mean, you know, you have
it's
to
like
suspend...
fantastical but plausible.
Yeah,
yeah.
And... But all of the violence and all of the killing is kind of the one thing that, like, really, like, kind of brings me out of it. And so to have them in the fourth game acknowledge, like, hey, Nate, you are actually a murderer.
You're kind of a monster.
like, I think that's all I really needed to kind of... And, like, even if I went back and played all of the old games, knowing that in number four... That they're gonna call him out for doing so helps me stay in the moment, knowing that they're not just washing over, excuse me, that fact.
Yeah.
No.
So I would say, and it feels like you're saying too, that at least aside from the fourth game. The Uncharted series kind of did a poor job of justifying the violence you were inflicting.
Yeah.
So how would you compare that to The Last of Us, once again, a game made by the same developer as Uncharted, Naughty Dog?
Wrong. That's a zombie game, right?
Essentially. I don't want to get into explanation, but essentially a zombie game. So this is a world that is very violent and is it's set up as a very violent, brutal world. It's a very violent, brutal game. Playing through that game, Marcus, how did you feel about the justification of violence compared to Uncharted? Did they do a better job in justifying the violence there?
Absolutely, and I think the two reasons are, I mean, one, the zombie-like creatures, they're not zombies, but they're zombie-like.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one, those aren't humans anymore. And, like, if you don't, I mean, I guess just to really just stop blabbering, it's different than Uncharted because it's all based upon survival. Mm-hmm. And the idea of, like, everyone has limited resources. It's kill or be killed. It's this dog eat dog world. And the justification too is also like, I need to protect this person who I'm escorting through this game. Like, she is my number one objective. I need to protect mm-hmm. her at all costs. Like, at all costs. And so you make these choices, and these are sometimes violent choices that support your main mission. And I feel it feels natural that a world would be that violent. And it would conversely feel unnatural if the game wasn't as violent as it was. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would be as believable.
Yeah. So, Valerie, what are your thoughts on that, comparing Uncharted, where you are a treasure hunter who is choosing to go on these expeditions, choosing to go in search of treasure, choosing to put yourself in that kind of danger and be followed by these villainous people that you are then murdering by the handful, mm-hmm. compared to this world where survival, as depicted in this game, requires violence. Do you feel any more receptive to The Last of Us's violence compared to Uncharted, or is it just violence for violence's sake because it's still just a video game?
I mean, I think violence is used in both of these games. Just, it's how you take out, quote unquote, the bad guys. And I mean, in both games, to progress forward, you have to eliminate, you know, the threats to your livelihood, which are these bad guys. But I think the difference is that in Uncharted, it's due to selfish motivation, whereas in the other game, The Last of Us, it's due to either self-preservation or, like, an altruistic motivation of trying to protect the girl. So I think the character's motivation reframes it for each different game, because, I mean, even in, like, in movies or TV shows, there's a lot that the audience will accept from a hero yeah. for the sake of, you know, it's the bad guys.
Looking at you, Jack Bauer.
Like, even, like that's such, like, a general term that many people are comfortable with contextualizing violence within, is it's all, you know, it's taking care of the bad guys.
Yeah,
the
bad guys deserve to die.
And it dehumanizes them.
Yeah.
Because it just turns them into this non-entity yeah. that is, you know, completely forgivable to just take out.
It's a term politicians will use very generally and loosely, as we gotta get the bad guys. Like, that's a very boilerplate, you know, both parties, every party's gonna use that line. You gotta take out the bad guys, gotta protect our home.
And I mean, in Uncharted, it's your fault that these bad guys are threatening you, whereas in the other game, in The Last of Us, it's a side effect of the anarchical world.
Yeah. And even going off of that, it's just going more into the world building of The Last of Us. It is a world where the average adult mm-hmm. is going to be carrying some weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Like some gun or some knife or just some shiv. Like, the average person is going to have those things on them mm-hmm. as a form of protection.
Yeah, well, because if the you know, the system of law and order, dun-dun, has gone to pieces, then there's no regulation on that.
Yeah.
And since there's no regulation, everybody's equally going to want to defend themselves, hence the wide distribution of weapons in that game.
Yeah, and then Uncharted, it would be like if either of us just went to Malaysia
uh-huh.
and started searching for gold, and like, we have our day jobs here,
yeah.
but then we went overseas and just started yeah. shooting down people.
And like, if you got found out, you'd like go to jail forever. Like, or worse.
Expelled.
or worse, expelled.
Like, no. I mean, I thought Nathan Drake was just kind of like, you know, generic video game protagonist with scruff and pecs, you know? But now he's like a human monster, and I'm like, wait, how is that cool? Like, how is that, like, just, his wife's just like, yeah, you know, I have like a minor problem with this thing you're doing. Like, that's like, that's like me when Devin leaves like coffee cups all over the counter. So I have this like minor problem with this thing that you've been doing.
Well, at least I didn't murder a bunch of people.
Yeah.
You're lucky that's all I did. So I want to hit on a couple things really quickly as we, you know, kind of round this out. So on the topic of just, you know, the bad guys as a label. In general, Marcus, do you think games are starting to or trying to do a better job of creating deeper and more nuanced reasonings for justifying taking out the bad guys in a game? I was watching a preview video for Mafia 3, which comes out next week, and the person previewing the game just kind of casually threw out, oh, we're just gonna go murder all these people, but it's okay, you know, they're in the KKK.
Yeah,
you know,
it's okay.
You know, they're the bad guys. You know, your character is, you know, a black male in the 70s. You know, it's a very racially fueled game. Mm-hmm. Does just having all your enemies be racist people, members of this racist, you know, organization, is that enough justification for your character to become a mass murderer of them because they are the bad guys?
I plead the fifth.
This here's a sticky racial situation.
This is a sticky racial situation. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's tough. I mean, in a video game, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to draw that line somewhere between good and bad. And between civilian and, like, criminal, you know, I think in a video game context, like, maybe that's passable, but,
Or, like, another context, like, oh, they're Nazis.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because we have plenty of games like that.
Shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
they're zombie Nazis. It's extra okay.
It's extra safe.
Yeah.
To kill a whole
bunch. Valerie, quickly, do you have any opinions on that? Of just, you know.
That's above my pay grade.
Yeah, this is a heavy question to kind of wrap up with.
That was an example.
Yeah.
But, you know, oftentimes, literally, those guys are wearing the uniforms from the villain.
Yeah.
You know, they're on the villain side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an easy way of taking away their humanity, even as enemies, is just popping the good old white cap on them.
Yeah.
And now it's like, now it's kosher to go on a rampage. It's like, is it? Is it? I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Second question. Quick fire.
No more violence. Please.
We've had enough.
I've had enough.
It's so ingrained in me. I'm such a gamer. So a lot of games, you know, for, I'd say, at least the past generation of consoles, have been, you know, there's been a more and more games that present a non-lethal option.
Mm-hmm.
Watch Dogs 2. We were talking about Watch Dogs earlier. There really is no non-lethal option there. Watch Dogs 2, it's being marketed in, you know, in different places. You know, you can go through the entire game without killing anybody. Dishonored comes out soon. That's a game, you know, that kind of built itself around the idea of you can take a non-violent or violent path. What are your thoughts on games like that? In the context that a lot of these games, when you have that moral decision, a lot of times the going the lethal route is kind of classified as like that's like the dark route, and then the non-lethal route is like that's like the your
it's like the pacifist route.
Yeah, that's your heroic ending. You'll get the good ending that way. You'll get the bad ending if you go killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Just generally, what are your thoughts on that as a game concept?
I mean, I don't know, more or less mirroring life, I suppose.
I mean, but in life, the, you know, the quote-unquote, lots of quotes here today, the quote-unquote good guy doesn't always, you know, get the good ending, and the bad guy doesn't always, you know, get his just desserts.
That's true too. And kind of the idea, like, oftentimes if you're going the non-violent route, it's more challenging.
Yeah.
And it's like you as the player have to make this choice, like, this is gonna make the game more difficult for me if I want to be a benevolent player.
Mm-hmm.
And as a hero, like, you have to make that hard choice, and if that's who you want to be, then, you know, you kind of deal with those. You accept that it's going to be challenging, and I feel like that mirrors a lot of life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could cheat on this test, or mm-hmm. I could take the time, study, and maybe not socialize as much, and maybe mm-hmm. it'll be more stressful, but that's the good thing. And, you know, I think it kind of makes sense for games to kind of offer those two perspectives of, like, it's, you can kill everyone and it'll be a lot easier, but if you don't, it'll be more internally rewarding but more challenging to kind of get through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any thoughts on games providing that choice?
I mean, I guess it's good that they offer that choice.
When they do.
When they do.
I mean, I was... To bring this back to the Marvel universe, I was just thinking while you're talking about that, how they make a point in the Luke Cage show. I don't believe this is much of spoilers here, but there's a scene in which Luke Cage goes through, like, a gauntlet of enemies with armed guns and weapons of sorts to try to get to something in the middle, get to this room in the center of the building. And Luke Cage's whole thing is that he's bulletproof, basically. He's indestructible and has super strength.
Mm-hmm.
And when these two investigators later are recounting the events that happened when Luke Cage went into that building, they're like, how did he do that without killing anybody? It's like they make a point of mentioning that this character chooses that non-lethal route, and I was just contrasting that mentally to, like, Deadpool, where, like, you know, he's killing people willy-nilly, but, like, I mean, I saw that movie and I laughed a lot. Like, it's like, it's contextualized so differently that, like, I as a viewer didn't have a problem with it, whereas,
yeah.
like, I didn't have a problem with something bad, but in Luke Cage, I applauded something good. So it's just... It's entirely dependent on the game, I guess. But like I said, I am glad that games do offer a non-violent option, because, you know, automatic violence might not be everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just for me, really quickly, in general, I prefer games that have options. Like you said, I like that it does take a higher level of skill. You know, you can read that as you taking the non-lethal route is morally rewarding, but it's also, like, skillfully rewarding.
Yeah, that's true.
Because a lot of cases, it's easier to just bulldoze through. And so I guess it kind of makes sense that you are rewarded both because of your moral choice and that it took more skill to accomplish that. It bothers me, though, when games, I guess, kind of tack it on, and it becomes less of an actual choice, more you hit this button as opposed to that button. I always prefer games that are more nuanced. I'll take that back. I'm playing a game where you just parkour off trucks.
Yeah, what's that truck boy?
So, but you know, there are different games for all different types of moods and flavors, and I want to see games that give more space and depth to this idea of morality and really, you know, the gray between the black and white. You know, those are always the most interesting stories when you interact with something other than the diametric, you know, oppositional choices. Last question, Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think video games are too violent?
Not a hard question at all. I mean, I would say no, only because I feel like pop culture has become numb to the amount of violence we depict in media. So, I mean, personally, yes. Objectively, no. And that they're not... Some of them aren't any more violent than, like, a PG-13 movie or something.
Yeah. Marcus.
Ditto. Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to be the voice of dissent.
I'm gonna want more violent games?
No, no, no. I'm going to say...
More blood!
No. The opposite.
You think they are too violent?
I think video games... Take it as a whole. You know, there are tons and tons of completely non-violent video games. But I think taken as a whole, I think they are a little bit too violent. I think that the medium is growing to a point where there are more interesting mechanics we could be using than violence. You know, violence is a very easy mechanic. It's useful. It's immediately rewarding. And I enjoy violent video games. Most of the games I play are at least moderately violent. But...
I don't play video games, but, like, I accept them as, like, as a thing, but, like, I personally wouldn't, like, want to have to live through that every time, you know, you play the game.
it's not violence in the game. You know, we talked about Inside a few weeks ago. That game has violence, but violence is not, like, its core game mechanic, and I think that's where my issue lies. I don't want to say if it's the industry relying on it, or if it's us as gamers expecting it and demanding it, but violence still remains, I'm just going to say, in my opinion, it's the most commonly used game mechanic, and I think there are more interesting mechanics we can use, and I would like to see us kind of not grow past violence, but maybe through it.
Yeah.
You know, the world is violent. Life is violent. I think that should be depicted in our art. Video games are art. Just slid that one right under the radar there. But no, I think I would like to see games try out some new things than just here are the guys that are highlighted in red, make the red go away.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts on this topic? Marcus, and I'll give Valerie the final say.
No, I think we pretty much hit on everything.
No, not hit. No more violence.
We pretty much talked about
everything. I mean, case in point, look how much freaking violent idioms we're using in our speech.
Nailed it.
Like a construction worker. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Valerie, any final thoughts?
I mean, I think we... I was going to say, I think we covered it. I think we...
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Boom! Headshot!
No.
That's going to wrap it up.
Like a spaghetti.
Around
a fork.
Like a mummy, because it's Halloween now.
Spooky.
Well, it's a new week, which means over on topshelfgaming.net. There will soon be a new question of the week.
Yes, we will present next week's question right now. That is...
Drum roll.
How would you define an RPG?
Oof. Talk about an easy question, right?
It's super easy. Valerie, do you even know what an RPG is?
It's an acronym.
Acronym that.
10 seconds.
I mean, I know what it really is, but I'm going to say it's a really pudgy goat.
She nailed it.
Stop Perfect. Feeding that goat. He's so fat. Stop feeding him.
It's really pudgy. Cut that out. It's a very growing genre.
I mean, that goat gets fatter every day. The more you feed him.
Yeah, the bigger
he's growing.
It all began with Goat Simulator. Mm-hmm. How far we've come.
The pinnacle of art.
So that'll be answered by the TSG staff and interns.
Yes.
And if a listener has any feedback, how might they answer that question or give us comments on the show,
holler
comments on
us.
The sites? How would they holler at us?
You can tweet at us at topshelf_gaming and write us at trust circle.
How do you spell trust circle?
T TRUSTSIRCLE at topshelfgiving.net.
TRUSTSIR. Okay.
Yeah. Circle with an S.
Circle with an S.
My brain cooking up with those.
Circle with an S and the C, but the first one is an S.
And there's also two C. And there's two S's, one C. Anyway, yes.
Let's go to the flowchart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, don't forget, thank you for listening. This is our fifth show. I've been looking at our stats, and a lot more of you have been listening than I thought, and we're also very thankful. I assumed we wouldn't be hitting these numbers for, like, months. So, thank you for your support, and I hope you tell your friends about us, and you know, we're still new and we're still figuring things out, but I think we have a pretty fun show here. So thank you for being a part of it. Please rate us on iTunes and share it with your podcasting listening friends. And yeah, thank you very much.
And with that, we're done.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.